Atatodhyastatsukalehudarashava Punyashloka virochanatmajobadir Bhagavata mahendrasya priham Jikirshavanana Diterlabdakayo Mutvavatu vamanarupena Parikshipta Lokatrayo Bhagavad Anukampayivaiva Puna Praveshita Indradishva Vidyamanaya Susamridoya Shriyabhijushta Swadharmena Naradayam Stameva Bhagavantam Aradhaniham Upagatha Swadvasa Aste Dunapi. You can repeat. Tata Adastat. Beneath the planet known as Vitalav. Sutale, on the planet known as Sutala. Udarashavaha, very greatly celebrated. Punyashlokaha, very pious and advanced in spiritual consciousness. Virochana Atmajaha, the son of Virochana, Balehi, Bali Maharaj, Bhagavata, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maha Indrasya, of the King of Heaven Indra, Priyam, the welfare. Jakirshamanena, desiring to perform. Adite, from Aditi. Labdukoya, having obtained his body. Bhutva, appearing. Vatu Brahmachari Vamana Rupena, in the form of a dwarf. Parakshipta, rested away. Lokatrayaha, the three worlds. Bhagavat Anukampaya, by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eva, certainly. Punaha, again. Praveshitaha, and caused to enter. Indra Adishu, even among the demigods like the King of Heaven. Avidyamanya, not existing. Susamrituya, much enriched by such exalted opulence. Shriya, by good fortune. Avijishtaha, being blessed. Svadharmena, by discharging devotional service. Aradhayan, worshipping. Tam, him. Eva, certainly. Bhagavantam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aradhaniham, who is most worshipable. Apagata sadvasaha, without fear, Aste remains. Oduna opi. Even today. The translation. Below the planet Vitala is another planet known as Sutala, where the great son of Maharaja Virochana Bali Maharaj, who is celebrated as the most pious king, resides even now. For the welfare of Indra, the king of heaven, Lord Vishnu appeared in the form of a dwarf brahmachari as the son of Aditi and tricked Bali Maharaj by begging for only 3 paces of land, but taking all the 3 worlds. Being very pleased with Bali Maharaj for giving all his possessions, the Lord returned his kingdom and made him richer than the opulent King Indra. Even now, Bali Maharaj engages in devotional service by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the planet of Sutala. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Uttama Shloka. He who is worshipped by the best of selected Sanskrit verses, and his devotees such as Bali Maharaj are also worshipped by Punya Shloka, verses that increase one's piety. Bali Maharaj offered everything to the Lord, his wealth, his kingdom, and even his own body, Sarvatma Nivedana Balahi. The Lord appeared before Bali Maharaj as a Brahmin beggar, and Bali Maharaj gave him everything he had. However, Bali Maharaj did not become poor by donating all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He became a successful devotee and got everything back again with the blessings of the Lord. Similarly, those who give contributions to expand the activities of the Krishna Conscious Movement and to accomplish its objectives will never be losers. They will get their wealth back with the blessings of Lord Krishna. On the other side, those who collect contributions on behalf of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should be very careful not to use even a farthing of the collection for any purpose other than the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So, Amagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, Bali Maharaj appeared in a very illustrious family. His grandfather was Palad Maharaj. His father's name was Virochan. And it's interesting with the story of Palad Maharaj, of course, the Lord of Singhadev and Hiranyakashipu, Palad Maharaj's father, that when Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord of Singhadev, Lord Nrsingadev told Palad Maharaj that all of his descendants and actually antecedents, that means those who came before and those who came after, would be liberated. This is an interesting point, that if one becomes a devotee of Lord Krishna, then not only is the person himself saved, but the person's family is saved. Of course, this is important to understand, that if one wants to do the best thing for one's family, because we all want to help our family. I mean, for example, I have a mother, father. Of course, my father passed away about 15 years ago. And all sorts of relatives, grandmother and everything like that. So in my consciousness, I'm always thinking of helping my family, not helping them in a mundane sense, like to further entangle them in the material world, but to help them advance in Krishna consciousness. For example, when my grandmother was getting ready to die, she was drinking her tea or coffee or something like that, and I snuck some Radhakund water in the tea when she wasn't looking. So she turned around, and I just put Radhakund water in, and she drank it, and because of that, she made spiritual advancement. She may be sitting here today in the temple, enjoying Krishna Katha. So, and also with my grandfather, before he passed away, of course, one becomes very serious about spiritual life when one understands that the end is near. So he was asking me questions, what is life all about, and where will I go at the time of death? And his wife didn't want him to ask those questions. That's my grandmother, of course. And For the first time in his life, he told his wife to be quiet, because he was so determined to hear the answer. So I was able to preach to him a little bit about Krishna consciousness, get people to chant. So this is a devotee's attitude. He wants to serve his family in this particular way. And so Prahlad Maharaj was also concerned with his father. And you see that Prahlad Maharaj's love for his father was not diminished in the least, even though his father attempted to kill him in so many different ways. Throwing him off a cliff, putting him under the feet of elephants, throwing him into a pit of vipers, giving him poison. I mean, frankly, unlimited. Put him in a pot of oil, hot oil to be cooked by the demons. I mean, there's so many stories in the Bhagavatam about Prahlad Maharaj's childhood. I mean, talk about child abuse. Because nowadays, if the children don't like what the parent says, they call child protection services. And if the parent says, no, you have to do your homework or you're not going to watch TV, then they call up immediately on the phone 911. And they say, my parent is torturing me, not allowing me to watch TV. And then the children, because of the modern culture, the children actually oppose the parents. And the children don't have etiquette. What does people oppose? And they don't even have etiquette. They address the parents by their first names. They don't listen to their parents. So in Vedic culture, the children would respect the parents. Of course, I'm not justifying child abuse. That's obviously not what we're justifying. But in any case, Prahlad Maharaj was protected by Lord Nrsingadev, and then when Lord Nrsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj asked for the welfare of Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlad Maharaj was informed by Lord Nrsingadev that Hiranyakashipu had already been freed from all of his sins and liberated by the mercy or compassion of a Vaishnava. That's how strong the compassion and mercy of a Vaishnava is. So, and then also Lord Nrsingadev asked Prahlad Maharaj, you know, do you have any other requests? And Prahlad Maharaj basically said, I have no personal requests because I'm not a businessman. However, I am feeling great compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. So therefore, help these souls. And Lord Nrsingadev, of course, said that, you know, so many generations your family will be liberated. And Prahlad Maharaj exhibited the utmost compassion. And also Lord Nrsingadev promised Prahlad Maharaj that he wouldn't kill any of his descendants. And of course, his descendants, Prahlad Maharaj's descendants, were Varochana and then Bali Maharaj. And after that, even Banasura. There's an interesting story about Banasura. He had 1,000 arms. And he was a great devotee, of course, of Lord Shiva. Not even of Krishna, but he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And there's that story of Usha and Aniruddha that is very much connected with Banasura, of course. You can tell that story. It's an interesting story. Once upon a time, there was the daughter of Banasura, and her name was Usha, and she was quite attractive. And in those days, the ladies used to be very much protected. The girls, the little girls, were very much protected from coming in contact with any men. Nowadays, of course, it's all boyfriends, girlfriends, Facebook, isn't it? I mean, people go on Facebook and they meet their beloved and whatever. And they have a boyfriend for 1 week, or he's my steady, that's one of the expressions they use. And then the girl dumps him or the boy dumps her. I mean, I get these letters sometimes. Like yesterday, I got a letter from someone. And this girl was in Hawaii. And she said, one of the members of your community has told me he loves me forever, this, this, and that. He can't live without me, and we're just as good and married, and we're going to get married. And then, as soon as he discovered that she had just a little sickness, he said, well, bye-bye. You know, I'm not interested in you anymore. And she was writing to me complaining about this whole thing. Anyway, so And I said, you're actually fortunate not to have anything to do with him, because I would never get married to him either if I was a girl. So anyway, so that's another story. So in those days, the girls were protected. In fact, they wouldn't even see any man that wasn't a family member. And even the guards were eunuchs in the traditional Vedic system. You know, eunuch means... Anyway, I think you all know what a eunuch is. A eunuch means someone who wasn't interested in girls. A eunuch or homosexual, something like that. So Usha was very much protected. But somehow or other, she kept having dreams of some handsome young man. Of course, that was Aniruddha, Krishna's grandson. And she was always having these dreams, and then she consulted with her good friend Chitralekha, who happened to be a nice witch, a white witch, you know, a good witch, not one of the bad witches. And Chitralekha said, we got to find out who this man is. Because it's not just a dream or a past life experience, but it must be someone who lives nowadays. And so Chitralekha pulled out her virtual photographic album off of Facebook or something. I don't know. Use her mystic power. Those days they didn't need Facebook or the internet, because they had mystic powers. And you didn't even need to write. You know, the writing just came into being like about 2,000 years ago. And then, because everyone has such good minds. Writing means that people have become stupid. It's not an advance in civilization, it just indicates that people just don't have good memories anymore. That's writing. And just like computers also indicate people have even become stupider. And calculators. I remember when I was going to the university, we didn't have calculators. We used a slide rule. Slide rule. None of you know what that is. Some of you know what it is. And nowadays, people don't know how to add or subtract or anything like that, because they have these calculators. They just go onto their mobile phone. How much is one and one? Oh, let me see. And they pick up their iPhone, one, two, and one. Oh, it's two. So all this technology is just like a crutch, because we're actually challenged. You didn't need technology before. I mean, people had mystic powers, so you don't need the internet. Everyone was connected, you know, through the world wide web of mystic powers. And so Chitralekha had these abilities, and she was able to show pictures to Usha of all the different eligible men in the universe. I mean, handsome men, not the ugly men. Obviously. You know, the Kshatriyas. You know, the Kshatriyas were handsome, not the Brahmins. So anyways, and she was looking, she saw a picture of Krishna, she said, well, that's getting close. And then when she saw the picture of Aniruddha, she said, that's him! And then, they didn't need the technology either of cars. You know, it's not that Chitralekha got in her automobile, or got in her jet or whatever, and got Aniruddha, but Chitralekha flew through the air. The mystic powers. And she flew through the air, picked up Aniruddha in the middle of the night when he was sleeping. He didn't even wake up, you know. That's pretty good. So, and transported him back to Usha's room in the palace. And of course Usha was very happy to get that Christmas present at that particular point of Aniruddha. And Aniruddha was also very happy to see Usha, because she was a very attractive lady. So anyway, they had sort of like a Gandharva marriage. Gandharva marriage means by agreement. And there's different types of marriage in the Vedic system. Gandharva marriage means that people agree, exchange garlands, rakshasas, kidnapping. So this is sort of a rakshasa, almost a rakshasa, but the man didn't kidnap at this point. Her girlfriend kidnapped. And it was bona fide. So, also in the Mahabharata, you have Vichitraveerya getting married, and he didn't do the kidnapping, but Grandfather Bhishma did the kidnapping. So if you can't kidnap your wife, you have someone else do it. So, anyway, getting back to the story. So what happened is that, yes, and anyway, they had this Gandhava Rakshasa marriage, they got married, and her father, Manasura, really didn't know what was going on until it was reported to him that your daughter is showing signs of having some relationship with a man. So Banasura walks in and he finds his daughter with this handsome man who is certainly qualified because he's Krishna's grandson. And he gets really angry. And one thing leads to another and he's able to imprison Aniruddha. And so then Krishna has to come to save Aniruddha. And Krishna is fighting. I mean, there's a whole interesting story in the 10th canto how Banasura even has the demigoddess he's worshipping appear before Krishna, and she's in a naked form, and Krishna doesn't want to see a naked lady, and Banasura is able to escape. Anyway, and then you've got the Shiva Dwara and the Narayana Dwara, like Shiva's weapon fighting with Narayan's weapon, and ultimately Narayan's weapon wins. Narayana Dwara, which is actually a cooling weapon, it's not the Sudarshan Chakra disc at this point, it's a cooling weapon. It puts out the fire. Anyway, because coolness or water can put out fire. So anyway, so you have Lord Shiva's weapons around surrender to Lord Narayan's weapon, and ultimately Krishna wins, and he's cutting off all the arms of the Banasura. And eventually, he doesn't kill him because Banasura is the descendant of Pallad Maharaj. And so he leaves him with forearms, and Lord Shiva and everybody is very happy with the story. So, anyway, so that's the reason that Bali Maharaj actually got mercy, and also the reason that Banasura got mercy, because they were connected with Pallad Maharaj. So the story, of course, Pallad Maharaj, it's interesting in that family that Pallad Maharaj is known as the Acharya of the devotional process of Smarnam. And Bali Maharaj is known as the Acharya of the devotional process of Atmani Vedanam. That's mentioned here in this verse. I mean, there's 9 processes of devotional service, any one of which can get one perfection in Krishna consciousness. You know, there's a Shravanam. Shravanam, of course, is to hear. And the Acharya of that is Parikshit Maharaj. And then Kirtanam, you have the Acharya of that is Shukadev Goswami. And Vishnu Smarnam, we already mentioned, that's Pallad Maharaj. And then the other ones like Archanam, the Acharya of that is Prithu Maharaj, and then Archanam Vandanam, Akrura, and then there's Padasevanam, the Acharya of that is Lakshmi, who's always serving the lotus feet. Then you have then just service, and that is Hanuman, who is serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Sakyam, that is Arjuna, the friend of Krishna, and finally the Atmani Vedanam. So these are different acharyas that represent the different processes of devotional service. Of course, all the processes of devotional service begin with Shravanam. Because if you don't hear, you're not going to know how to do anything else. I mean, like you see, Bali Maharaj is primarily Atmani Vedanam, but he also heard about the Lord, so he knew who Krishna was, or knew who Lord Vamana was, so he could surrender to him. Anyway, so it's not that one exclusively does one of these processes, but basically one concentrates on one of the 9 processes of devotional service. Now, of course, in this day and age, the most important process of two processes of devotional service are Shravanam and Kirtanam. That was taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that one should engage in this Sankirtan. Sankirtan means to hear and chant. It's both of those processes simultaneously. Because you have to hear nicely to be able to preach or explain Krishna consciousness, and then your explaining is also chanting. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about the story of Bali Maharaj, who is Atmani Vedanam Acharya. So Bali Maharaj is very interesting because he was in the, as I said, in the family of Pallad Maharaj, and that family was a family of demons. And of course, Pallad Maharaj shows, and this whole family shows, that it doesn't matter what family you're born into, you can become a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if you take up devotional service. You know, so we have, I mean, for example, you have Pallad Maharaj, who is the best of devotees, yet he's in a demon family, and then you have some of the demigods who do things that are really wild, like Indra, who's in a godly family. Aditi is his mother, of course, and his brother is Lord Vamanadev. And then Indra's like having relationships with Brahmana's wives. I mean, here you have someone do something really demoniac, isn't it? I mean, Indra, what did Indra do? He went to Gautama Rishi's wife, to Gautama Rishi's wife's form, that's Ahalya. Gautama Rishi's form, so he could have a relationship with Ahalya. And, you know, he just, that's demoniac. So here you have Indra acting like a demon. He's not a demon, but he acted like a demon. And you have someone in a demon family acting like a pure devotee. So we should see someone according to the qualities, not according to their gotra. You know, if you ask Pallad Maharaj, you know, what's your gotra? He says, well, demon gotra. Asura gotra. You understand? That's his gotra. But actually he's a pure devotee. And even in the modern day and age, you have Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family, and you know he's considered the greatest exponent of the chanting of Hare Krishna in this day and age. So it's interesting. So we should always see someone according to their qualities, not according to their background. Not according to their background. And there's many examples of people who did horrible things, and then they became great. Not only should we not consider the family, but we shouldn't consider what they did previously in this lifetime. Like, for example, you have Jagai and Madai, who are the two personalities who were saved by Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And it's described that their sinful activities were so voluminous that even Chitragupta, who was the scribe for Yamaraj, couldn't keep up with them. He was getting writer's cramp. They didn't have technology there, no computers. What is that called when you can speak into a computer? Oh, Siri. It then, where you speak into the computer and then it types out what you're speaking. He had to type himself or write himself longhand. So, their sinful activities were so voluminous, you couldn't even count how many people they killed or whatever else they did to people. Yet they became saints. And they were respected by all the Vaishnavas. And even this one great Christian saint, let's see if I remember his name. St. Thomas Aquinas is his name. He wrote Confessions, actually. Ever heard about that before? He wrote a book called Confessions, in which he details all of his previous sinful activities. I don't advise you to read it. It's X-rated. R and X-rated. I mean, it's really terrible. And so there's this book, Confessions, and then he became one of the greatest saints. He was actually a debauchee. He had, there's actually pictures of him, like, in Christian history of, like, anyway, with women and doing things, getting drunk and everything like that. But he became one of the greatest saints of Christianity. Anyway, so we don't consider the past. So let's talk about Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was opposing the demons, the demigods, I'm sorry. Bali Maharaj was opposing the demigods because that was his family tradition. You know, that's the demon's business. You're supposed to oppose the demigods. Even though he was worshipping Vishnu, his spiritual master, it's interesting, Shukracharya had advised him to worship Vishnu. At that time, Shukracharya was a little favorable towards Vishnu, because he understood if you worship Vishnu, you get a lot of riches in response. Later on, he became more inimical to Vishnu. Anyway, so Shukracharya was advising him to worship Vishnu to get power. So he was following his guru and worshiping Vishnu and getting power, conquering over the demigods, because the demigods had actually disrespected their guru. And eventually he took over the heavenly planets, and Aditi, the mother of Indra, was lamenting that her son, her son had been kicked out of his position. So she began to worship Vishnu. She did this whole ceremony that her husband advised her to perform. And she got, as a result, her son, Lord Vamanadeva. And then what happened is that Lord Vamanadeva went to Bali Maharaj while Bali Maharaj was performing the sacrifice. And Lord Vamanadeva appeared, and as a Brahmin, Bali Maharaj was obligated to give him whatever he wanted, and Bali Maharaj also promised him that I'll give you whatever you want. And Lord Vamanadeva only asked for 3 steps of land, and Bali Maharaj said, you could have asked for so much more. You could have had a whole continent, you could have had riches, you could have had a nice wife, anything. And Vamana says, you know, one isn't satisfied with 3 steps of land, they'll never be satisfied with anything. And that's really a very deep philosophical or practical point. That if you're not satisfied with what you have now, it doesn't matter how much you have, you'll never be satisfied. Krishna, of course, in the Gita says the same thing. Avritam gyanametena gyanina nichavairina kamarupena kuntiya dushprena lenacha. That one's lust is never satisfied. It always flames up like fire. Or as the example given sometimes, you put gasoline in the fire, it becomes further inflamed. So, anyway, to make a long story short, Lord Vamana asked for 3 steps of land. And Shukracharya, at that point, he said to his disciple, Bali Maharaj, don't give it. This is Lord Vishnu. And then Bali Maharaj said, but you've been asking me to worship Lord Vishnu all along. And now you tell me not to give it to him? You know, what's this? You're a hypocrite. He may not have used those words, but that's what he was thinking. He said, you're a hypocrite. And then Bali Maharaj basically said, you know, I've made a promise. I will never break my promise. It's better to die than breaking promises. This is also another important point. Now that it's Kali Yuga, people break their promises all the time. You know, then someone makes a promise, you know, in marriage, or someone makes a promise in business, and then it gets broken very, very quickly. So therefore you need contracts, and you need lawyers nowadays. In such a yuga, Treta Yuga and Dwapara Yuga, you didn't need lawyers. Lawyers are, you know, anyway, there's so many jokes about lawyers, which you're not going to tell. So, but you didn't need lawyers then, because people get their promises. If people keep their promises, why do you need lawyers, right? And there were no car accidents, so you didn't have to have ambulance chasers in those days either. So, Bali Maharaj was determined, but his spiritual master said, no, I'm going to stop you. And Shukracharya took a very small form, and he actually entered into the pitcher. The pitcher, Kamandalu, which Bali Maharaj was going to pour to actually signify the offering of a benediction or the offering of 3 steps of land. And he blocked the water coming out of the pitcher. And Lord Vishnu said, you know, I can take care of this. He took some kusha grass and he poked Shukracharya in the eye. And from that day forward, Shukracharya was blind in one eye. And that's why from that point forward, he never had his disciples worship Lord Vishnu anymore. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he took birth and invented a bogus mantra to try to deviate Vaishnavas from Krishna consciousness. And this mantra was Nitai Gaurade Sham Hari Krishna Hari Ram. So he was the one who invented that mantra, Shukracharya, So Shukracharya always, at that point, he just, from that point on, he just like, well, I guess it's post-traumatic stress or something like that, or, you know, like a, angers, you know, a great deal of anger, and he just wants to get even with Lord Vishnu. And it's not possible to get even with Lord Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu is God. So then Bali Maharaj, of course, gave Lord Vishnu this offering, and Vamanadev, one step covered the earth, another step covered the whole universe, and then there was no place to put the third step. Bali Maharaj was arrested because, you know, there's no place to put the third step. And Bali Maharaj said, yes, you can put the third step on my head. So that's called Atmani Vedanam. He surrendered everything to the Lord, and the Lord is described, Lord Vamanadeva, who was very big at that point, pushed Bali Maharaj down to Sutala. And Sutala is actually a subterranean, as we've been reading here in the Bhagavatam, heavenly planet. It's not a bad place. The only problem is there's no sun. Other than that, it's nice. I mean, people don't get old, people don't smell bad, there's more enjoyment than in the heavenly planets, but there's no sun. There's light from the jewels on the serpent's heads, as we were describing. Some of you weren't here for class the other day. It's something like Las Vegas. That there's, you know, neon lights. So the lights from the serpents are actually better than neon lights, but it's like Las Vegas. They try to keep you inside all the time. No windows, no clock, or anything like that, so you gamble all the time. In the same way, they put you in illusion. In the same way, in the subterranean heavenly planets, because there's no sun, you have no understanding of the passing of time. You know, now we have an understanding of the passing of time. The sun's coming up, it's morning, then it's going to be midday, then it's going to be evening, and then we go to the next day. But if there was no sun, if there's no sun or change in light outside, I mean, how would we know from one day to another? Right? I mean, there's no stars or sun or anything like that. It was just like everything was dark and we just had, fluorescent lights all the time. CFLs, you know, compact fluorescent lights. I mean, just like, it'd be like living in Las Vegas all the time. You know, and you just like, you look, cause you get bewildered. Like if you go to Las Vegas, you see people that get bewildered. They play these one-armed, two-armed bandits. See, they even call it a bandit because it steals your money. And they play and they lose all their money and they die in front of it. Or like someone playing video games. There's stories of people get so addicted to playing video games, young men, that they actually forget to eat or drink and they die at the computer console. Yeah. Yeah, it's actually quite common. In Japan and also in other countries, it's quite common. You find people, hey, you know, are you alive? So, and something like the lower, in these lower subterranean heavenly planets, it's like they're always enjoying, something like the Matrix or something. They're always enjoying and they forget the passing of time and then the time factor comes and takes everything away from them. So that appears to be a benediction where you can enjoy like that, but it's actually a curse because you're not reminded that life is temporary. The problems that we experience are actually benedictions because they remind us about the temporary nature of this world and ultimately that we have a higher goal that is Krishna consciousness anyway. So see, these are some of the points. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda. Hari Hari.